Good morning. Can you hear me? Okay, brilliant. Sorry about the poor start. I hope that if everyone's at home listening, they can hear us too. It really is a bit unusual meeting together, isn't it? With the masks on, I can't see anybody kind of smiling back at me. I hope that you are. But it is good, even though the circumstances are different, that we can meet together. And there are people watching online as well, and I hope that as we meet together, we'll all be blessed in our time. It'd also be really good if the young people here would be able to help us this morning. So I've asked that we can have some pens and paper. If you're at home, you've not got that ready, you've got time to get some pens and paper ready. Because we're going to do a few things just to get the children involved as well, to help us understand what's happening in our psalm this morning. And the psalm that we're looking at carries on our series of God, Our Help. And we're going to look at what we can learn from this situation of King David. We're going to see how God can be our help in the most desperate of situations. And the psalm that we're looking at this morning is a psalm of repentance. We've seen that David was the author of this psalm. And as your Bible will say at the top, it was written after he'd committed adultery and murder. But yet, the psalm still speaks truth to us about how we should see our sin. So we're going to see how David calls on God for forgiveness because he knew that God could forgive him. He knew that he needed help. And David knew that he was guilty of what he had done. So the first point this morning is the bad news. And the bad news is that we are all sinners. And we should be able to identify with David here, even though we may not have done what he's done. He speaks very openly about his sin. And there are three things that he mentions in verses 1 to 3. We see here that he says there are transgressions, iniquity, and sin. But what do these things mean? Well, transgressions are the things that we do that are wrong. That's when we disobey God and we do things that break his law. So if the young people could help us now, what I'd like them to do is write down a word that everyone can see. So write it down nice and big. Something that is a sin. Or perhaps draw a picture of someone doing something that is wrong, or something that you do that is wrong, something that we can see that you might be able to hold up. So this is one of the transgressions, or something that we do that is wrong, that breaks God's law. And while you do that, we'll look at this other point here, iniquity. And iniquity is the way that we are in our nature. It's the nature that wants to rebel against God. It's iniquity that is the reason why we always want to do what God tells us not to do. We act sinfully because we are iniquitous. If we look at the situation of David, it's quite clear that he transgressed, he broke God's law. But the reason he did it is because of his iniquity. So his heart naturally desired to have something that he wanted more than God. He wanted that sinful thing more than he wanted to please God. And so because of that nature, that iniquitous behavior that he had, he acted on it and transgressed. He broke God's law. And finally, verse 3, we see sin. The transgressions and iniquity are sin. But when we think about what sin is, it's helpful to look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. That's where we're told that sin is lawlessness. So sin is the breaking of God's law. It's falling short of God's standard. Now you may be able to make out on the screen here who this is. Not me, the lady. This is Jessica Ennis. And she was in the heptathlon. She was a heptathlete, but in 2012 she was in the heptathlon, which is an event that incorporates seven events, and to win the gold medal she had to do better than everybody else across those seven events. So the criteria, the standard to win the heptathlon was to get the most points more than anybody else. But now imagine that instead of having to just be the best of the ones competing, the standard to win gold was actually to win every single event. And not just to win every event, but to win every event, setting a new world record. Well, if that was the case, I don't think anyone would be winning gold at all. And it's similar for us, that we are faced with God's standard. The standard is not to be better than other people. It is not to be able to show that you can do better than other people or you're not as bad as other people. The standard is to achieve perfection. And in fact, to make the illustration of Jess Ennis even more accurate, it's like her having to set a new world record in every single event, every single time she competed. It's not really in any way possible. And that's the bad news. The bad news for us is that we can't reach God's standard. We can never reach his standard because we are sinful. Now, I wonder if we could just have a look at some of these drawings or some of the words that our young people have scribbled down, or maybe they can hold them up. If you're at home and you're doing this, then please do show mum, dad, brother, sister, whoever's with you. So we can see lying is one down there. Can't quite make that one up. Oh, it's the same again. Brilliant. That might be what we've got here this morning. I've got a few other examples to share. The sin of two sisters on the left-hand side. That one is one of the sisters trying to upset the other one, poking her tongue out, making the other one cry. We've got the word hurting and lies there. And we've got another picture of a couple of children fighting over something, wanting what the other one has, not sharing, being unkind. Now, these things just help to show us what we do wrong, that's natural for us to behave that way. It's like a mirror being held up to us to show what we are like. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 makes this really clear when the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So there's not one of us who can claim we are without sin. And the thing that makes this so serious is what we see in verse 4, that we have sinned against God and we are under his judgment. So that's not really just bad news. This is absolutely terrible news. All of us need help and we need a rescuer. So perhaps to help us again, our young people could write down or draw a time when you've needed rescue, or maybe when somebody else has needed rescue. So that might give us an idea of the helpless situation that we are in. So write down or draw something where someone or you have needed help or rescue. Now, thankfully, even though we have this bad news, there is good news. But how can there be good news for us? How is it that we can be sinners and yet be helped? Well, the first thing we have to see is that God is merciful, he is loving, he is compassionate. We see that in verse 1 that David acknowledges this is what God is like. And the second thing we see throughout this psalm is the way that David keeps coming to God and confessing his sin. So there's help for us if we confess our sin. What we see from David is that he admitted his guilt. We see that he acknowledged his sin was against God, and he recognized the seriousness of his sin. You see that David didn't try to hide from his sin. He didn't make excuses. He was fully aware of what he had done and what he was like. David knew that he needed help. He knew that only God could help him. And that's because David really grasped and understood what God is like. If you look at verse 17, we see that David recognized that God desires repentance. He desires us to come to him with our sin so that he can deal with it. And so the bad news is that we are sinners, and in ourselves we are helpless, but the good news is that God is merciful and is compassionate and loving, and he wants us to come to him, confess our sin, and repent of that sin so he can forgive us, so he can turn us to walk with him. Let's look at what this good news is, how God can deal with our sin. We see that in verses 1, 2, and 7. And we see it as David cries out to God and says to him, "Blot out my transgressions, wash away my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, cleanse me and wash me." So David knew that he could come to God and say these things because only God could help him. He cried out to God for forgiveness and called on God to cleanse him and restore him. Now, I wonder if you know what that feels like. Perhaps as a visual illustration, to think about a time when you were really, really messy. We've got a picture here of a child, absolutely covered in their food, really, really messy. Maybe if you're at home and you're one of the young people, that might be what your little brother or sister looks like at some mealtimes. We've definitely been in situations like that, bowls on heads, and I have no idea why, but if you buy baby vests, they're always white, so it causes all kinds of problems. But this is real horrible mess, isn't it? But I remember when I was an electrician, I worked on a job on a farm, and there was a huge pit, and inside the pit was all the mess from the farm. So when they cleaned out the animals, all the mess went into this big pit. It collected in there. And they had kitchens that had all the moldy food, all the fat, all the waste was washed into this pit. And then there was also the flow pipes from the toilets that collected up. And when you stood at the edge of it, the smell was disgusting. The problem was that someone had to get inside to fix something that was in there. And when you're the apprentice and there's a job that disgusting, there's no discussion. You're going in. And unfortunately for me, I was the apprentice, so I had to get in the pit. And I don't know if you can imagine how bad it is, but it is as bad as you can imagine. It was vile. I was desperate to get out. And when this mess and the excrement was on me, I just wanted to wash myself clean. I was desperate to get home and clean up. Now that's a visual illustration of how we ought to feel about our sin, that it feels disgusting, that we want to wash it off, that we need to be cleaned. And like David, we need to look at God as the only one who can do that. God is the one who can save us, wash us, and rescue us. So let's have a look back again. If the young people, there's some drawing down there, of times when you've needed rescue. I might not be able to see from here, but I can see. No, someone in water, is that stuck, drowning in water? So yes, they need rescue and some help. And we've had some other illustrations sent in. Someone needing rescue from a snake. There's fire. We've got another one of fire, someone surrounded by fire needing rescue. And this one to your right is a picture, actually, of someone who's seeing the difference between a sin and life in Jesus, and that's rescue needed from hell to take them into eternal life. A really excellent illustration to show us people's desperation, where we really, really need God's help. But how is it that God can cleanse us? How can God forgive us of all of this wrongdoing and change us? Or maybe you're asking the question, this morning that you're a believer, but you have this barrier of sin in your life. Maybe you feel that God is distant. How can God help you this morning? Well, I had this illustration of some ropes. These are to illustrate different types of sin. So we have a really big sin, a really big problem of sin. The second one, a little bit longer. This is like your persistent sin. And then we've got a third one, which is unrepentant sin. So what it's like trying to visualize is that you've either done something really, really bad in your life, like David, or maybe you've got this sort of sin that you just can't shake off, that you keep on doing wrong over and over again. Or maybe it's that you've got sin in your life that you've never repented of. You recognize that you're distant from God because of that sin. Now, what we can see when we loop these up is that actually God can deal with that sin. God knows how to correct our sin. But it's more to visualize. Imagine that this is how God looks at all of us as people. So instead of seeing these awful long sins or short sins, or particularly or the unrepented sin, sorry, I just dropped one here, is that God takes them. Let me pause it like this. And it's like we're all the same. Now, it's not that God looks at us and says, you're not that bad. But what God looks and sees is that we are all sinners. That he sees that we all need help. He looks at us and says, you have all fallen short of my standard. And so he doesn't look across and pick out your sins. He looks at you and sees you as a sinner. And the problem is the same. Someone needs to deal with that sin. But God says that I have sent someone to deal with your sin. And so he sends us Jesus on the cross. And this is what the good news is for us, that we have the cross. If we look at what David says in verses 9, 11, and 14, we see that David cried out to God for mercy. So if we can get the slide up, that'd be great, thank you. So here we see David crying out to God for mercy. And what we see is that he says to God, hide your face from my sins. Blot out my iniquity. Do not cast me from your presence and deliver me from blood guilt, O God. But how can God do that? How could God do that and be just? How can he uphold his justice? Well, he can do that because of the cross. What did God do to Jesus when he was on the cross? Well, he didn't hide his face from our sins because he hid his face from Jesus. He poured our sin and our iniquity onto Jesus. He counted Jesus as though he was guilty of everything that we had done, all the guilt, the bloodshed. And then he did cast Jesus out of his presence, and he left him alone to be punished for that sin. And it was all on the cross. And it's in this truth that we find the reason that we can be like David, that we can be honest about our sin and see that God is calling us to repent and to follow him, because he wants us to be forgiven. He wants us to be restored. But there really is no other way. Now, I wonder, to help us, if the young people at home, the young people here this morning, could get the paper they wrote down the sins on, or those illustrations of people doing something that are wrong. And I want you to show us what it's like when God deals with our sin by screwing that paper up, destroying it, tearing it down, getting rid of it. See, that's what it's like. You're taking the sin, God tears it up, he screws it up, he throws it away. He gets rid of it. It's gone. It's forgiven. It's dealt with on the cross. So is God your help this morning? So whether it is that you've committed a really big sin, perhaps it's that you're complacent about your sin, and there's a sin that's unrepented of, you don't know forgiveness, or maybe you're a believer and you have this sin that you just keep doing. God says, I can take it away, crush it up, throw it away, because I can deal with it on the cross. And that's the message for all of us, is to come to him for help. God alone can rescue. He alone can forgive and restore. And salvation can only be found in Christ. So we, this morning, are challenged to either bring our sin to God and repent of our sin for the first time, asking God to forgive us and to help us to understand who he is and why he died for us. Or maybe we're being called to confess sin. Maybe there are sins in our lives that are causing there to be that divide between us and God. I know I've been challenged about confessing my sin, trying to recognize that I need to do this every day, coming to God, recognizing that he alone can deal with that. So, shall we pray to our God, for there is no other help but him. Heavenly Father, we do pray that although we are sinners, and acknowledging our sin this morning, that we have a merciful and a compassionate God. Father, we know that we so often don't have the right view of our sin. So often we leave sin unchecked, or, Lord, we just don't deal with our sin because we don't want to come to you. But, Lord, the message this morning that we've learned from David is that we desperately need your help. And, Lord, to live our lives for you and with you leading us, our sin must be dealt with. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us all this morning to come to the cross, recognizing why Jesus died and what he did on the cross and what was achieved for us. Lord, I pray that you would turn our hearts to you, recognizing you are the only help we have. And Father, I pray that in doing that, we will be liberated of our sin, that we would joyfully want to live for you. Father, we thank you that you are compassionate, you are merciful. You did not leave us in our sin, but you came into this world, you died for us, and you saved us. Amen. Well, as we close together, we're going to have another worship song up. And it's just one that we can listen to, and again, as Paul said, to sing in our hearts. But it's one of reflection of what we've been looking at this morning, and it's in Christ alone, for it's only in him that we have all these things. So shall we have that song and reflect in this time together?